told me. Thank you, councillors. It's now 6:30 and I declare the meeting open. I advise the public that in accordance with the council's code of meeting practice, council meetings are recorded and the audio is later webcast via council's website. The entire chamber is included in the audio recordings and visitors in the gallery may have their voice captured and webcast. By attending a council meeting, you consent to your speech or other personal information being captured, recorded and webcast. For this reason, I advise that any opinions expressed or statements made by individual persons during the course of this meeting are the opinions or statements of those individual persons and not opinions or statements of council. All persons should refrain from making any defamatory remarks. Council accepts no liability for any defamatory remarks made during the course of the council meeting. Furthermore, all persons should refrain from making public comments about another individual without seeking the consent of that individual beforehand. We all stand for the council prayer.
Councillor Burke. Gracious God, we pray for the council of the City of Cessnock, its members and officers, direct their work and influence their decisions, the advancement of your glory, and the safety and welfare of this city, so that peace and happiness, truth and justice, and sound development may be established among us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Council acknowledges the Wanarua people as the traditional custodians of this land we are meeting on today, the elders past, present and future. We also acknowledge the Awabakal people to the east and the Dargajung people to the south, and other Aboriginal peoples who now live within the Cessnock local government area. We have an apology from Councillor Fagg, so we're moving that way. Move Councillor Fitzgibbon, second Councillor Zavall. Councillor Olsen.
Yeah, Mayor Pinchant, I'll be absent from the 13th of November and not returning till the 1st of December. Okay, if I can put an apology in for that period of time.
We're seeking leave of absence for the
yes,
Council?
Yes, please, yep.
Okay. So the move in second to take on the added leave of absence from Councillor Olsen. I'll put that. Those in favour? It's unanimous. Confirmation of minutes of the previous meeting. Move Councillor Fitzgibbon, second Councillor Sander. No debate. Put the motion. Those in favour? Councillors Olsen, Doherty, Dunn, Stapleford, Saval, Fitzgibbon, Sander and Lyons, Pinsent as well. And those against? Councillors Gray, Dagg and Burke. Disclosures of interest. Councillor Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a disclosure with report number WI79, the Dollar for Dollar Grant Committee. Non-pecuniary interest, significant conflict for the reason of my association with the Cessnock Chamber. They were one of the applicants in the list. I will remove myself from the chamber.
Thank you. Councillor Dunn.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor Pinsent. I'd like to submit a non-pecuniary interest less than significant for WI79 2019 dollar for dollar grants, as one of the applicants is a formal Liberal councillor representing a community organisation.
Thank you. Councillor Doherty.
Thanks, Mayor Pinsent. Like so, I'd like to declare a non-pecuniary less than significant conflict in that WI79 2019, whereas one of the applicants is a past councillor representing a community organisation and I have no financial interest in that organisation.
Thank you. Petitions? Councillor Dunn.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor Pinson. This petition is with respect to BN 10 2019 for the local area traffic management scheme of Millfield. It's submitted by Mr. Brian Monk, and I'd like to thank Mr. Monk for being here this evening from 10th Street, Millfield. I'd like to table that.
Thank you. There's no public address. Consideration and adoption of all reports by Englobo, your individually with nominated exceptions. Councillor Doherty.
Thanks, Mayor Pinson. Having read through the reports for tonight, I'd like to move that in Globo PE 73, 2019, which is a post-exhibition report on the draft community participation plan. Hang on, I'm going the wrong way around. Sorry, I'll rephrase. I'll start with GMU 21, minutes of the Extraordinary Audit and Risk Committee meeting. GMU 22, exclusion of items from the agenda. CC 92, minutes of the Cultural Facilities Committee meeting. CC 93, adoption of records management policy. CC 94, financial statements for the year ended 30th of June 2019. CC 95, ward boundaries. CO 26, intergovernmental agreement. CO 27, planning panel's code of conduct. I'd like to move that they be adopted.
Yes, so let's move Councillor Doherty. We've got a second to Councillor Saville. No debate. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's unanimous. So we move to Mayoral Minute 15. Now, I firstly apologise for the late notice, but I was only aware of this strategic review of the resources for Regions program. I might note the spelling error there, on Monday. So the reason I'm putting this forward is that we have a deadline of November 22. It's very important for Cessnock City Council to outline their views in regards to the reshape of Resources for Regions program. If you remember back a number of years, we were not eligible, even though we have a significant amount of mining legacy in our LGA and continue to have that probably forever. And we need to be right out there telling the regulators what we expect in the guidelines for Resources for Regions. The other issue that we've had over time has been the co-contribution, and to smaller councils, smaller than us, it's critical. In fact, it's a backbone that's stopping them getting some of the pot. And in the previous year, there was $50 million in the Resource for Regions pot, but unfortunately only $29 million was allocated because this issue of co-contribution puts a number of councils out, as well as the BCR. And for a water project in a small town, it's very difficult to get a BCR greater than one. So we need to be really out there talking about the issues that we have with it. And of course the other issue for us is that we're deemed a disadvantaged community, so that we have under the current guidelines, we have a reduction in the amount of that co-contribution. So whether it be from 50%, we might be able to get out by contributing 25% or 12.5%, depending on the rating of that low socioeconomic. So there's a number of issues there. I'm asking staff to prepare this, circulate it before November 22. The link to the document, they tell me, didn't work today, so we'll remedy that tomorrow. And looking for your input into Council submission closing November 22. Councillor Dunn?
Yeah, totally agree with this, Mayor Pinson, and it's a good mayoral minute, and I'm more than happy to support it. The one thing that did jump out at me, though, was we do probably need to recognise the, as far as economic development goes and being able to get the money, the amount of non-ratable land we have in our LGA, and I think that's important because, you know, we can't get a lot of money, so we're a very susceptible council for as far as not being able to have our own income off that state government land, so I think that's quite important.
Yep, okay, thank you. No further debate. I'll put the mayoral minute. All those in favour? That's unanimous. Thank you. Motions of urgency. So we're on to PE 72. Councillor Saville.
Thank you, Mayor Pinsent. Can I move the recommendation with the following amendments in 6.1, the council determines councillors Pinson and Sander as delegates, and councillors Stapleford and Lyons as alternate delegates or members, whatever the term is. And then in point 2, we change that to that council's adopted expenses and facilities policy apply to any expenses incurred by members exercising their JRPP responsibilities. And then in point number 3, that council determine Robert Bisley and Stephen Leithley be the external alternate members.
We need the term councillors in dot point 2?
Yep.
So incurred by council members exercising their JRPP responsibilities. Councillor members, sorry.
Yep.
Okay. So, right, we've got a seconder. Yeah, Councillor Burke. Not speaking to it.
No.
Okay, well, no debate, so I'll put it. Those in favour? It's unanimous. Thank you. PE 73, Councillor Stapleford.
Mr. Pinson, I'd like to move this motion with a minor amendment to 3.32 of the development assessment not require an exhibition part. So the amendment is that development is for new dwelling houses, additions to dwelling houses, provided that by that the development, which all I take out is that are ancillary to the development of houses. So if we delete on page 82 of the agenda, but just take out or ancillary development to the dwelling house.
Okay, so you're moving that way. We've got a seconder, Councillor Fitzgibbon. You're speaking to it, Councillor?
Yeah, Mayor Pinson. I have a great concern about some of the parts of this, about not notifying the community. And the biggest problem I have had in the past is with sheds that are 8.5 metres high or slightly bigger being approved by council without the residents' knowledge. And I think if we take that out, that will fix that problem up for us.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. No further debate. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? That's unanimous. WI 78. Move, Councillor Fitzgibbon. Second, Councillor Burke. Councillor Fitzgibbon.
I'd like to just add some words onto the recommendation, if I could, please. And that is subject to satisfactory referee checks.
Okay. Okay, we've got a seconder. We've already got a seconder. The seconder comfortable with that? Councillor?
Yeah, I'll speak to that. I'm happy to speak to that. Look, I just think it's okay to come in as the preferred tender on cost, but when there are other issues that I felt were relevant in the evaluation matrix, it would be good to get referee checks.
Thank you. Councillor Olsen?
Yeah, Mayor Pinson, just a question on the financial implications there. It says that the cost of
$298,000... Sorry, the costs are confidential.
No, it's written down here. It's in the report, yeah. Yeah, no, I'm just asking, the cost is
$298,000.
It says it's within the anticipated budget, and the project will be fully funded by a number of successful grants. So we've already received the grants, to cover that total cost. Is that correct?
The Director.
Through you, Mayor. That's correct. We have grants to tick off on five stages of Bridges Hill, of which this is what we call stage three.
Yeah. It's just I'm glad that one came in at that price. That's what we had budgeted, because the other one was...
Okay. Righto, thank you. No further debate. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? That's unanimous. WI-79. Now, hang on. Yep. Move, Councillor Fitzgibbon. Second, Councillor Saval. No debate. Put the motion. Those in favour? That's unanimous. Go to BN28, Councillor Olsen.
Yeah, thanks, Mayor Pinsent. The motion as written is the council considers as part of the current development of an off-leash dog exercise strategy.
Yeah, we've got a seconder, Councillor Saval.
Yeah, the installation of two off-leash dog fence areas, one in Cessnock and one in Curry, with consideration being given to installing these in the next financial year. Mayor Pinsent, it was brought to my attention that by a lady that we don't have any off... We have off-leashed areas, but they're not fenced. But there is one in Huntley. And to keep it in line, I'd like to think that Cessnock and Curry could have one in the next operational plan. And then we could also identify other areas that we could look at using in longer terms and eventually get more around the town. I believe they're very successful in Newcastle, the ones they've just opened, and in other places. And I know that people that have dogs that will use these areas will look after the areas, and I think it's a positive for the community if we can do something like this.
Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Through you, Mayor Pinsent, I'd like to add an amendment to the motion, please.
Sure.
That council wait for the delivery of the off-leash dog exercise area strategy as identified in the 2019-20 operational plan.
Thank you. We had a seconder there. Councillor Dagg.
I'll speak to that. Look, I do agree with Councillor Olsen. I think it's good to have a fenced off-leash dog exercise area. There's a big off-leash area just at the back of my house, and it's used all the time. Its boundary is a creek, and I often wonder about some silly little dogs that may run into the creek. The other positive for fencing is we often have the motorbikes running through that park, so hopefully that would stop that problem as well. But I do think because we have this strategy already identified in the operational plan, we should wait for the delivery of that from the officer, and that way we can change, amend, or get public feedback from that strategy to make sure that we get it right.
Councillor Dunn.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor Pinsent. Do we know when that strategy is intended to actually come back to us?
The Director.
Through you, Mayor. Yeah, it's listed in this year's operational plan, so it will be developed and presented to Council, I would imagine, in third quarter for it to be formally adopted before the end of the financial year.
With the first mover and the second, I'd like to just add a dot point, if I can, Mayor Pinsent, that in that... strategy Carmichael Park Master Plan be considered as well.
Okay. So the mover and seconder of the amendment and the original motion, are you comfortable with that addition? Additional dot point? All right, we're all happy. Good. So I'll put the amendment. All those in favour? Councillors Doherty, Dunn, Stapleford, Saval, Fitzgibbon, Gray, Dagg, Burke, Sander, Lyons and Pinsent. Those against? Councillor Olsen, it becomes the motion now. All those in favour? Councillors Doherty, Dunn, Stapleford, Saval, Fitzgibbon, Gray, Dagg, Burke, Sander, Lyons and Pinson against. Councillor Olsen. Go to BN 29. Councillor Stapleford.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson.
I want to move the motion that the General Manager write a letter of support to Rover Motors, the Minister for Transport and the local member to give support to the Wollombi community for a bus service to Wollombi.
Yep. Second, Councillor Lyons.
The reason for this report is that the local community have already spoken to Rover Motors and they need proof of community support. So I think as the community representatives, I think that we should give that support. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. No further debate. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? It's unanimous. BN 30, Councillor Stapleford.
Mayor Pinson, I'd like to move a motion that the General Manager investigate the possibility of granting permission for a Wollombi community to place a water tank on Cessnock Council land, parcel number 24965, title PT85EC 6DP759103. It's the old Wollombi bush fire shed. The slimline tanks will be used for firefighting water in the village. The community are fundraising to provide money. However, we need plans, specifications, because of the tight fit and the heritage of the village.
Yeah, so Councillor Lyons is seconding it. You speak to it, Councillor?
Yes, yes. There are several old historic buildings in Wollombi, and there's been some small fires. The last one, the people of Wollombi were very lucky. The on-duty fireman was having dinner at the restaurant when the fire broke out, so they were able to contain it. Yeah. But there are no firefighting, except the Rural Fire Service, to go and get a tanker and come back and fight. There's no water in the town. And this is to supply an initial part of water so they can then go and get the fire tanker and continue fighting the fires. Thank you.
Okay. No further debate. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? It's unanimous. Thank you. Where?
I was just wondering whether that should say firefighting rather than fighting fire.
Fighting fire, yeah.
Take out the water.
Take out the water.
Okay. Council reports. Councillor Dagg.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I'd like to report on the International Cities, Towns, Communities Conference that Councillor Gray and I attended recently in Townsville. This was a thoroughly useful and informative experience. The main theme that we both took from the conference was the importance... Sorry, Robin, I will email this through to you. The main theme that we took from the conference was the importance of one thing, and that is the involvement of community and their engagement at every single stage of the planning process. What we do in local government is more than rates, roads and rubbish. People expect far greater than that. We are not just another level of bureaucracy through which our community needs to navigate. We build a sense of place, we build communities, but it is important to remember that this relationship should not be paternalistic. Local government is in partnership with communities when it comes to ensuring that the projects we deliver are not only a reflection of the wants and needs of the people we represent, but that those same people have played an active role in the planning and realisation of those projects. Our first session was a placemaking masterclass. This is probably planning 101 for council's officers, but for elected representatives, it flipped previous assumptions on their head. Built infrastructure is not what creates community. Rather, it is the activation and connection to place, as this leads to greater social density as opposed to just population density. There is a key difference between those two things. Lighter, quicker, cheaper components that are incorporated into plans also allow councils to immediately implement those plans, and this has triggered in both Councillor Gray and I many ideas of ways that we can activate the community to take ownership of the spaces in which they live. Councils for some time have been moving towards the engagement of a placemaking team. This wasn't something I was aware of, but this is possibly something council could consider going forward. It was suggested that local government provide innovation or placemaking grants for community groups so that they take ownership of the projects that they care about. This is already something that we do at Cessnock through our Dollar for Dollar program by leveraging the enthusiasm of community groups to achieve real outcomes on the ground. Examples of placemaking done well for councillors' benefit if they wish to follow up are Parramatta Square and also Bryant Park in New York. The speaker who delivered the masterclass was actually involved in that that project. Setting aspirational goals are important for a community such as ours, which is transitioning from blue-collar to service-based. The goals need to be far enough away that people have time to adapt and come on board and engage them to help plan for that, rather than develop in isolation before presenting to them as part of the public exhibition process. In everything local government does, there should be a conversation with the community about what they want their towns to look like in 10, 20, 50 years, as industries, population and demographics change. Do we at Cessnock Council have a process to ensure the community is investor ready? Do we have anything to fill the void so that we can ensure the people of Cessnock can live where they work and love where they live? Detailed summaries of the various sessions will be tabled here tonight, and they have been put together thoroughly by Councillor Gray. But as a regional community, it's also important that we constantly think about reinventing ourselves. Economic fundamentals will not swing around and fix the problems we face with investment in the regions, active initiatives and political action being the most effective to do so. Local policy settings should be aimed primarily at incentivising regional investment, and I know that's something that Council is very proactive about. And local government should be advocating for state and federal policy to increase the viability of investment outside the major cities and in regional centres such as our own. Policies should reflect the benefits of regional development to the people, i.e. less congestion, lower dwelling costs, supporting the current population. In terms of economic development and regional investment, the health of our business precincts is the indicator of whether it is being done well. I'll just skip. The takeaway from all of this is the importance of placemaking for four reasons. Localising makes this place special and unique. It creates place capital as well as social capital. It's a magnet for workers, residents and investors, and is therefore as much about economic development as well as community development. Community is built on mutual trust, mutual history and a mutual vision for the type of environment a group of people wish to spend their lives in. The same set of emotions that makes a house a home is the same collective emotions that make a town a community. Local government needs to improve how it engages with, cooperates with, empowers and activates its community. An engaged community with social and economic benefits at its heart is one that feels ownership of its surroundings and thrives. The greatest benchmark for placemaking success is when local people can see their fingerprints all over it, the design, the materials, the labour, and this should be the goal for all of us.
Thank you, Councillor Dagg. And I'd like to report on last weekend the Keep Australia Beautiful Sustainable Communities Tidy Towns Awards. And firstly, I would like to congratulate the staff that were involved in those awards. The feedback that I have received has been very, very positive from our community and the wider community. I also congratulate the involvement by our staff of our community. And I think that's the key to success in this Sustainable Communities program, having the community go with you. And I think when I look at the 2019 awards, I now see how we were successful in 2018, because we had approximately, I think it was 6 or 7 community projects, and it wasn't just the council leading them, but it was the community leading them. So on behalf of the council, to the general manager, could you congratulate all the staff involved? From all of us, for a fantastic job upholding a great reputation for this council. And it was great to be joined for the weekend by Councillors Dunn and Gray in the session, so it was very informative. So at that point, I'll close the meeting. Thank you.